anything. It's good to be with you to share the good news of the gospel. I think it raises a big responsibility and a great privilege to do so. If you're wondering why I was sitting down at the front, it's just, I'm not very good with my feet. I need something to hold on to when I'm standing, so that's why I was doing that. If you've got your Bible with you tonight, if you can turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, I'm going to read from verse 5, from the chapter, start again. 2 Kings, chapter 5, from verse 1. We'll get there. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 1, of what it says is, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy, would my lord. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man descend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And so it was, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore, or why, hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come unto me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then that when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. And then went he, that's Naaman, down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and he all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take up a blessing of thy servant. And he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it as he refused. He said, The Lord will have a blessing for the reading of his word. This evening, what I'd like to do is to consider some very important questions with you. As we look closely at this passage from the word of God, I want to hopefully show you how it still relates to us here in 2009 in Methil. And as we consider the passage, we might understand what God has done for us by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to be the saviour of our sins. The first one thing I want to consider about this man, Naaman, is what sort of background he had. Firstly, unlike most folk that we read about in the Bible, he wasn't Jewish, he wasn't of Jewish origin. He was Syrian. And then we're given a brief description of what sort of man he was. And when you look at yourself and you want your self-analysis, and you look at yourself and you consider what sort of person you are, I don't know what you say about yourself. I don't know if you've ever had to write what you would call a CV, a scriptural duty. If you're applying for a job, and in a couple of pages of paper, as you apply for a job, you would try and tell an employer what a wonderful person you are, and all the wonderful experience that you have, and all the things that you've done that's pertinent to the job that you're applying for. And as you look at yourself, you pick out all your good points, for example, you might say you're trustworthy, you're hardworking. Maybe if you're advertising in a personal column, you might say you're good looking, you've got a good sense of humour, you're tidy, and so on. And generally, when you're writing these things down, you don't put the bad things down. Like myself, I'm kind of grumpy, especially first thing in the morning. In reality, I'm very untidy, and sometimes I'm lazy, and all other bad things that you can think of, you wouldn't put them down. Because if you're applying for a job, you're not going to get it, are you? If you're as honest as that, maybe you're exaggerating your good points anyway. But when we look at this man, Naaman, and you see the list of his good points that he is, it's quite impressive. He was the captain of the host of Syria. He was good at his job. He'd done quite well. He was a great man with his master. The king thought he was good. What else could it say? He said he was honourable. He was trustworthy. He was a mighty man in valour. If you were in a fight, in a battle, this is the man you want beside you. He had so much going for him. Then there comes this big butt. It's a huge butt. In his butt, he was a leper. You have to understand what leprosy is. Leprosy is a skin disease. It eats away your skin. I understand there's different types. But in Naaman's society, to be a leper was a terrible thing. Not only was it disfiguring his body, destroying it, it was going to kill him. And if that wasn't just enough, it was contagious. This is not the sort of person you'd want coming into your house for tea. No matter how good he was, if he's got an infectious disease, keep him away from me, please. And in society, for this man, no matter how good he was, his life was finished. The Bible tells us an interesting thing about ourselves. It says each and every one of us is a sinner. If you look in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And just as that is, Naaman's sin was separating him from his friends and his family and would ultimately kill him, our sin has separated us from God. Because God is holy. That's an amazing thing. God is holy, different from you and me, with all our imperfections and all the bad things in our life. And God cannot allow sin in his presence. If you read Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, it says, "For the wages of death, the wages of sin is death." Just as you and I, we don't want Naaman in our house, God can't allow sinners into heaven. So the first question that we need to ask tonight is, why do I need to be saved? I think we just answered the question. We've all sinned, no matter who we are, or what we've done, or how little or how great bad things we've done. We're all sinners. We're all sinners, and that's how God sees us. Sin, at its simplest point, is basically disobedience against God. You might think of the Ten Commandments. You think about sin. You might think, you know, God, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't done this. But you look at the other ones that say you shouldn't even lie. You realise that every one of us has sinned. Naaman realised, when he looked at his life, and he realised where he was going to be separated from the friends, his family, from who he loved, whoever it was, and he would have a great desire in his life to be healed. There would be nothing he would want more than to be healed of this disease. Unfortunately for him, life wasn't as simple as that. There was no cure for leprosy. For him, doing nothing wouldn't be an option. He was going to die as a leper. And why would we want to be saved? Because doing nothing about our sin isn't really an option for us. If we reject God and his wonderful free offer of forgiveness or salvation from our sins, then what's awaiting us is an eternity separated from God in hell. But for the believer, when their life is over, they cannot look forward to just like fellowship with the king, because that's what Naaman wanted. He would want restored fellowship with this king and master. But we can look forward to, for a Christian, for fellowship with the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about this maid, I find the little maid most interesting. I don't know how you feel yourself if you were captured and taken away to another country. and you're away from your friends, your family, and from all that you love, and your master's sick. I don't know where your sympathy lies. I say, my master was sick, I think I'm fine, talk. You get on with it, you're on your own. Even if I knew the answer, I don't know if I'd share it with him. This little maid is an amazing thing. She tells her mistress how this man can be healed of what's wrong with him, who to go and see. And the word that is said from the maid to her mistress eventually reaches the king. And for the king's love of this man is incredible, because he's so concerned about this man. He's a good general, he's a good captain for him, he's a good man. He doesn't want to lose him. God is concerned, and God loves each and every one of us. That is why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins on that cross at Calvary. That was the reason, because he loves us. It's interesting, as you read through this little section we've read through, as you pick out the mistakes that Naaman made as he tried to be healed of this sickness that he had in his life. The first mistake that I really noticed, but it was quite interesting, he's given all this huge pile of wealth, the clothes which should be worth an awful lot of money, the gold and the silver, and he's sent then to see the king of Israel. He's sent to see this great man, this powerful man, who in worldly terms will be able to do so much, that the king, when he looks at himself, who am I to heal this man of his leprosy? You and I, when it comes to the forgiveness of our sins, there's only one person that we can approach, and that's Lord Jesus Christ. No one else is good enough. Everyone has sinned, but the Lord Jesus Christ was very different from you and from me. The Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. He didn't sin, he couldn't sin. In him there was no sin at all. The perfect Son of God. It says about the Lord Jesus Christ, this it says in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, it says, neither salvation is found in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we go to see a priest or a minister or a rabbi or some religious leader, they won't be able to save our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that can save you from your sins. And you have to say, you've got to worry about yourself for this. It's very important. I can't save you from your sins, and you can't save me from mine. And the king of Israel, when he looked at himself, he realised that he could do nothing for this man Naaman. And in a rage, he rips off his clothes, because he thinks that Naaman has come from this Syrian to start a fight, to start trouble. But the prophet, this little girl, the maid, who was speaking of Elisha, hears about what the king has done, and he sends word to send this man, Naaman, to him. Sometimes we try and impress folk by show them how great we are. You might have a nice car, or whatever it is. Or you tell them about your job, or you do this or you do that, and you try to impress them. I get the impression this is what Naaman was doing when he turned up Elisha's front door. He turns up, he's got the horses and the chariot, and he's got the servants, and everything is there. And he knocks on the door, and Elisha doesn't even welcome to see him. He sends a servant to come and see him, and the servant says to him, go across to the Jordan, to this river, and wash 7 times, and the body will be restored to you. And Naaman was furious. This wasn't what he was expecting. It wasn't the method of him being healed that he was expecting. He was expecting something big and fancy, for Elisha to come out and strike the area where he was sick, and to call upon God. Naaman wants to see himself being forgiven under his terms. That's not how it works. When it comes to our salvation, God sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he lived that perfect life that I've mentioned on earth, and he died for our sins on that cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus came. No one better could have come. He was the only person that was good enough to meet the conditions. It tells us in Isaiah that without the shedding of blood there can be no forgiveness of sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he shed his blood for us on that cross at Calvary. the responsibility for you and for me is we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ask Him into our life and to ask Him to forgive us of our sins. We can't do it our way. It's got to be God's way. It's good when you get nice advice, isn't it? In the course of my work, I tell folk what to do sometimes. And sometimes when I tell folk what to do, the folk that work with me say, you know, Gareth, that isn't the right way to do it at all. You need to do it this way. And more often than not, they're right and I'm wrong, and we'll do it their way. But Naaman is very fortunate. He has these servants who take him aside and say, listen, the guy's not asking you to do something hard. It's not something complicated you've been asked to do. Maybe if Naaman had been asked to run a marathon or to do some great feat, he was thought, you know, that's exactly what I was expecting. Something really hard. Because I've got this thing wrong with me. It's got to be something really hard that I've got to do. And even the washing in Jordan, he thinks, you know, that's a terrible, terrible, dirty river. Maybe she would ask to go for a dip in the fourth, he would think, oh, God, that's, the fourth is filthy. I'm not going in there. There's better rivers elsewhere. There's got to be a better way to do it. When it comes to our salvation, there's only one way, and it's God's way. And just like it was a simple way that this man could be healed of what the disease that was in his life, salvation is quite simple. We don't need to do anything hard. We just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, just as the meeting was starting, as people were sitting down, they said this, there's nothing you can do that you can't make harder. And it's like that with the gospel. The gospel is so easy. We don't have to make it hard. All we have to do is accept that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for our sins and believe in Him. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our life and do Him to be our Saviour. Finally, as we read, we saw this man Naaman. Finally, that's what he's told. He ditched the river of Jordan 7 times. And when he comes up the 7th time, he finds he's completely cured of the disease. Cured completely. No repeat prescriptions are necessary. You don't need to go back to the doctor every 2 weeks to find that it's coming back again. He was cleansed. And we also read that his skin was like that of a little child. My skin is kind of hard, maybe yours is the same, it's all rough. And with being a soldier, I'm sure his hands would be full of calluses and roughness. But it was restored to him like it was a little child. That soft. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we start again. The slate has been wiped clean. We're found acceptable in front of God. It's an amazing thing. And then Naaman does another thing. Once he's cleansed of this thing, he tries to go and pay for what he's got. Thinking maybe it's like going to the doctor. I've got to pay for what I've got. The salvation is free. It's free. The price has been paid. The Lord Jesus Christ paid that incredible price by going to that cross at Calvary. And this is good news. It's good news. It says outside the hall, it says gospel hall. And the word gospel means good news. And it's good news that we're here tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive us from our sins. So in conclusion, what have we learned tonight? I haven't spoken very long. I don't normally speak very long. But I haven't spoken very long because the message of the gospel is quite simple. Firstly, we thought about sin and the effects of it. Every one of us has sinned. And we thought about Naaman and his leprosy. And his leprosy was going to separate him from his family. And our sin has separated us from God. And we thought about God, who sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear the punishment that you and I deserve. How He lived a perfect life, a sinless life, and cruel men put Him to death on that cross at Calvary. But the wonderful thing is, He rose victorious over death. On the 3rd day, and now ascended and with God in heaven. And we've also learned that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved and forgiven of our sins. No matter how bad they are, no matter how little, how great they are, our sins can be forgiven. Our salvation can't be bought with money or with good works. So if we read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, we would read that it's for grace that we are saved We see it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's a wonderful gift. This free offer of salvation that you have tonight, to have your sins forgiven. And finally, what does it all need? When we look at her, I think about the believer and the responsibility that we as believers have to do with others, to do as she did, and tell others of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, how you can save people from their sins. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we come before you and we thank you. You can come here and open your word, the Bible, to read from it and learn more about you and about your Son, and learn what you've done for us by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear that punishment that we so rightly deserve by going to that cruel cross in Calvary and shedding his precious blood for us. And we pray for anyone here tonight who hasn't taken your Son as their Saviour, that tonight they will do so, that we have this wonderful opportunity of knowing salvation, of knowing their sins forgiven. We pray that you'll bless us now and take us home safely. And bless those who would like to have been here tonight, but for whatever reason, couldn't have managed. We do so, giving thanks, and in the name of your Son, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.